Welcome to Conscious Creation with actress, author, and healer Dee Wallace. If you want to take charge of your life, really take charge of your life, the next hour will be a fun, enlightening experience in creating the life you want. Whether it's money, health, success, or relationships, join Dee in celebrating the power of you and see your life expand into joyful creation. And don't forget, you can hear Dee every week on the Al Cole People of Distinction Network, compliments of Live 365 Radio. You can also find Dee on PWR Talk and Women's Radio. To join Dee now, call 646-915-9919. And now, here's Dee.
Hello, all you amazing, fabulous, incredible, magnificent, oh my God, so very loved, and damn sexy people. Ah, it's been a great, great month for me. I hope it has for you. I love Christmas. I live Christmas all year round. As soon as it's over, I start buying for the next year. I have a Christmas closet. My heart is Christmas, okay? And I think if we would all just live with our hearts as Christmas more and more and more every moment, you know, what? That's the answer. Love, joy, happy. Love, joy, happy, right? So I'm excited, really excited about this show today. I have on whom I consider a good friend, and I'm blessed to be able to say that. She's a new friend, but she's a good friend. Her name is Sharon Ann Klingler, and she is world-renowned intuitive and medium. And I met her at Lilydale. And I actually, and you know how important tithing is to me, right? You know what that means to me, to meet someone who walks the talk and inspires me and moves my heart because they are walking the talk of, well, selfless love and service to the world, and just because that's who they are. And I actually was so moved by Sharon when I met her that when I got home, my heart just wanted to tithe to her, so I did. And that's the kind of important person in my heart that I'm bringing onto the show for you today. I mean, she's, you know... Of course, she's doing my show, which is the most important thing, but she's been on Oprah Network and Discovery and all the major channels, NBC, ABC, CBS, all over London. You know, she's incredibly well-known throughout the world. But more importantly for me, and you know me, so you know what that means when I say this, she's the real deal. And we are going to be talking about her new book, Power Words. And I want you to know that this is very, very, very much for you today. We probably will be doing a few readings with Sharon, and I certainly am going to bring in all the information from my channel also for you. But I want you to really get and understand this amazing new technique that she has channeled for you through this book, Power Words. Before we get started, I want to invite you, because Sharon and I are getting together next Tuesday, December 17th, 2013, for a two-hour webinar on predictions and messages from the other side about 2014. As I've told you all already, and information keeps coming in about it, that 2014 is going to be an awesomely easier year. Easier, more joyful, more loving, more balanced. And the highest thing that I got this morning was actually the words, the year of balance. That 2014 is going to be the year of balance. Now, those of you that have been with me for some time know that everything around our work stems from being in balance. And when we are in balance, we are at the pinpoint opportunity of creation. When we go out of balance, we're usually in reaction, and creation is much harder because we are reacting to what we don't want instead of directing and focusing on what we do. I will be doing live shows throughout December except for the day after Christmas, and we'll come up with, I think it will be a new show that I will play for you, probably a new hourly interview thing or an hourly private session that I do, that, and you know that those serve everybody. So I will be on live throughout the holidays except for the 26th, but the 26th will be a new show for those of you that want to recuperate in a real spiritual way after Christmas. Okay, so I think I want to dive right in here and bring Sharon on. Sharon, are you there, baby cakes? Hello, Stephen. Well, I guess I have to bring Sharon on. I'll wake up here. Yeah. I just got back from Grimm. Hi, baby.
Oh, hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can.
Okay.
It was my bad.
That's all right.
I just spaced out there a little bit.
So That's all right.
You know that I've read Power Words because I gave you this awesome quote that I wish I'd written it.
Yes. Thank you so much for that wonderful testimony.
Well, I meant it. I think you're on to something that's really important for everybody, because I'm all about not making it hard and making it easy, Sharon.
Yeah,
you know, all of the I think spirituality gets way too serious and way too burdensome for people.
I agree. And you have to remember to do affirmations, and you have to, you know, think about all of your thought processes, when really all you have to do is work with each individual word as they come up. And that makes it present. It makes it throughout your day. It's something that you can utilize, and they're really powerful tools that you can utilize any time, because of course thoughts are going through, and ideas and words are going through our mind all the time. And of course when we communicate as well, we communicate to the universe, not just to the individual we're speaking to. And so there's really kind of two different types of language. There's limiting language and lifting language. And if we become more conscious of the individual precise words that we're using and start to really work on feeling their energy, we'll become more aware of the impact that they have on us, the impact that those words have on us. And really all that takes is just a couple of seconds. Instead of just saying a word, if you're wondering whether or not a word has a certain positive or detrimental energy, all you have to do is close your eyes and take a deep breath and pull the word inside you and feel yourself with that word energy and repeat the word a couple of times, and you'll feel right away how very dramatic words can be.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I love everything about this book and about this technique that you've come up with, because it addresses everything that I believe in and my teachings. Feeling is so important in the creative process. For so many years, we've just been saying words. And we've been saying words because people have told us to say words, and they said, well, say these words and you'll get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I know it goes much deeper than that. And one of the things I loved about your book was it literally says in there how to feel the energy of the word, right?
Yeah, and that's crucial because, well, you know, you and I are both children of the 70s, so I'm sure the F word was a big word for
Oh my God, the first time I asked my mother what that meant, she was driving and the car swerved all the way off the road and came back on. I mean, in Kansas,
but it's really,
you know,
it's
you
really
just
kind
didn't
of funny
that.
Because, you know, we think that it's okay to use all these swear words, and of course it supposedly makes you feel better because you're venting your frustration. But if you were to muscle test after using the F word, you would be enormously surprised at how much weaker you are. And you know, and then of course, you know, the other words that we use that aren't even, that are much more negative in terms of, you know, hatred and self-loathing and any kind of words that smack of judgment and dismissiveness to ourselves or to others, all carry an extraordinary negative energy. And if you take just a moment to feel the energy of one of those words, then, for instance, can we do, just close your eyes for a minute with me, and everybody, close your eyes and take a deep breath and just bring in the word hate, just for a second. Just bring in the word hate and feel what that does to you. Only hold the energy for a second. Take a deep breath and expel that. Let that go of that. And now take another deep breath and bring in the word love. And the word love, just fill yourself with that energy and gratitude. Love and gratitude. And you can see, okay, open your eyes. It's really that quick. It really is that quick. And of course, it seems like, okay, yeah, love is a power word. Obviously, love is the biggest power word there is. You know, Masaru Emoto in his The Messages in Water said that those words created the most beautiful water crystal.
And I saw the pictures.
They're amazing, aren't they? And this kind of validated for me because I've been charging my water for decades with the word love. And everybody can do that. That's another process that's in the book. When you are, anytime you have a bottle of water in your hand or a glass of water, you know, just take a minute, close your eyes, pull the word love inside you, feel yourself with that vibration, and then send it through your arm and into the water, and then drink the water, and you're giving yourself love twice. And
well, again, that fits right into every. We just finished the Gratitude of Self-Love program. Because I think that's the key to everything, is loving yourself. So a couple of things you said have brought up a couple of questions that I want to. We always have fun on this show while we heal.
good. That's the way
so
it should
be. So I want to know, if you use the F word while you're having fun or flirting or just joking around, does it have the same detrimental
effect? I actually have to tell you, I have done this test with many, many, many people and I've tested a lot of different words, both not just in the energy that you pull in yourself that you can feel absolutely vibrationally, but muscle testing different words. And even if you say it laughing or you say it just with absolutely no emotion, like you're not venting anger or anything like that, it still has the same effect. And it's because it has had centuries of meaning of, you know, the F word is actually the original legal term for rape. It was for unlawful carnal knowledge. And so its state of origin, that word. And so sadly, because it's a fun
word,
you know,
I think it's
a fun word.
I've got some information coming in, and I want us to look into this because I think this is pretty interesting.
Okay.
I'm just starting to work with imprints on the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying this is what we're really talking about, that it may not be literally in our DNA, but it is imprinted in our energy patterns. And so if something is imprinted in our energy patterns, and please yell out if you're not in agreement with this, Sharon, but if something's imprinted in our energy patterns, it's going to affect us whether or not our intention is for it to do so or not.
Absolutely. I am in total agreement with that.
Wow.
And not only do we have individual energy patterns, we have cultural energy patterns, historical energy patterns. For instance, the word Nazi. If you went into the 1800s and asked somebody to feel the energy of the word Nazi, it wouldn't carry an iota of energy. But now, the word Nazi carries hatred, negativity,
fear,
violence, you know, all of that. And it's going to be centuries before that word doesn't mean that and doesn't carry that kind of energy. So it's, there's an historical imprint as well, a cultural imprint too.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if we don't use those words personally, all it has to be is embedded or imprinted, I love that word, imprinted in the cultural zeitgeist, and it will still affect us in that way.
Uh-huh. I get a yes on this. I'm testing all this because you and I didn't actually talk about this particular subject. So I'm a lot of interesting stuff is going on with imprints that I'm finding within myself and testing how to bring them into balance. And I want to ask you about that too, because my channel is calling 2014 the year of balance. So I would think, and when I go within and feel balance, I feel power through calmness.
Right.
And talk to me about the word balance.
Okay, and before I talk to you about the word balance, I have to tell you how right on your channel is, because numerologically, 2014 turns into a seven, and seven is what's considered the bridge between the personal and spiritual realities, the personal and spiritual awareness. And
yeah.
So it's literally a number of balance between the personal and spiritual. So you just are so right on with that.
That's
even in
exciting,
terms of the numerology. But the word balance is puts us into a state of peace, and really peace and harmony and ease help to bring balance. The things that bring disbalance are emotional ups and upswings and downswings and being any kind of reactionary to the events in our lives. You know, as the Buddhists say, all suffering comes from attachment. And balance really comes from a state of detachment and a support of not a state of not caring, but a state of detachment from the whiplash effect of events, people, and situations around us. So that really, to bring the most balance in our life, the experience of balance, you can breathe in a lot of different words. You can breathe in the experience and the word balance. You can breathe in the word peace. You can bring in the word ease. And you can also breathe in the word release and letting go,
mm-hmm.
because those words help you to detach. In my book, there's a whole section about foreign words, too, and, you know, ancient words and prayers and invocations from antiquity and all of that, besides regular, just normal words like these very powerful words. But one of my favorites is, that I use actually pretty frequently, is the German Mach's Nix, and it just means it matters not. And that actually helps to keep balance. When we're sitting in a long line at the bank, or we're trapped in traffic, and we can just all get all agitated, or we can just say, it matters not. It matters not.
Yeah.
And that brings us a state of balance in our personal experience and helps us, of course, to bring ease. You know, worry is the absence of trust, and balance is the absence of worry.
Well, and I think with balance comes allowing.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
allowing,
not being
is,
attached.
For me, is a very powerful word.
Right.
You know?
Yes, that is a good word. Being attached is just letting go, surrendering and allowing. Yes, absolutely.
If you had to pick one word that you would say this is the most powerful word in life, what would it be?
I have so many, but one of the top ones would be freedom.
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 Yeah, for me, I think it would be love.
Mm-hmm. Well, love absolutely is a very powerful word. And actually resonates, probably one of the highest resonates. That's why he got the most beautiful crystal with that word. But we get so trapped in personal histories and personal realities. As a matter of fact, can we do just another 30-second thing
please.
Here?
Oh, please, yes.
Okay, everybody close your eyes with me for a moment and just think of any situation, even a minor one, of a pattern that you would like to break, relationship energy. It could be smoking or it could be even a negative thought pattern. And just take a deep, as you think of that in your mind, as you identify that, don't bring that into your body, but just identify that. And take a deep breath and bring in the word freedom and fill yourself with the vibration and the quality of freedom. Allow yourself to feel the vibration and quality of freedom, filled top to bottom, front to back, with the great sense of freedom. And feel now your new skill and talent at freeing yourself, allowing yourself to move away from this situation. And open your eyes. And the next time you present yourself with this situation, if you bring yourself to the word freedom and bring the word freedom into you, you'll start to lift a new sense of your purpose to alter what you're doing, saying, or thinking, and change it to something beneficial, something positive.
Mm-hmm. I could feel that for sure. Wow. Okay. One of the parts of your book that and quoted in the press stuff, which is really interesting to me, and I'm going to read it. Power words create an electrical current that can strike lightning and illuminate your world. We have, in this community, been dealing with the electrical charge of the universe, and we as the electrical charge, and our words, the feeling and the power behind the words have a lot to do with this. So I want you to talk to me about the right words or an electrical prompt. I think
right.
Your word.
Well, that's
word.
You know that's a Mark Twain. One of my favorite Mark Twain quotes is the right word blazes out, and its effect is spiritual, physical, physically, spiritually, and electrically prompt. And that's when you pick the right word for any activity, you can actually bring energy to that activity. For instance, when you're an actor. And you've heard the word action a million times before, right?
Yes, a million.
And what happens when you hear that word? Everyone in the scene jumps to action, right? Everything starts to happen. The script starts to play out. So one of my favorite triggering words, now that's a triggering word is a little different than a lifting word. It does uplift you, but it actually stimulates and triggers a prompt response.
Yeah,
and
those
so,
of you that keep asking me, you know, or saying, you know, Dee, I want to do this, but I just keep putting it off, or I just can't seem to get my confidence up. Trigger words are really important to you, so listen to what Sharon's saying right now.
Right. Well, when you get in a state of inertia, and this is actually one of my other most oft-used trigger words, is the word action. And with an exclamation mark after it, it's a command trigger word. And you just imagine like you're on a television or a movie set and you command action. And literally, you take a deep breath and you fill yourself with the command action. And literally, your body wants to start to take action. It's really quite amazing. When I get lethargic or if I'm in the middle of a writing project or whatever have you, and I get distracted or tired or inert, I use that word and I will turn back and immediately restart the action that's taking place. Now, sometimes if I'm wildly distracted, I'll have to use it a couple of times. But it's amazing how you give yourself the command and not just say it. It's important, people. It's very important to feel the energy of the word. And so take a deep breath, close your eyes and say, action. and you will actually pop to action. It's really quite amazing. It's one of those imprints. It's one of those imprints that is inbred in us, because we've all, we're not actors like Dee, but we've all seen that in movies and that type, and television shows and that type of thing. And now there's one for the confidence that you just asked about, the person who is hesitant because of their confidence. There's a number of different alternatives in my book. There's the French for courage, which is beautiful. It's courage, and you fill yourself with that kind of thing instead of just the English. You fill yourself with both the English and the French, and there's a lot of different words for that. But there is, and this actually may be the trigger word that I use most often, more than action, and except maybe perhaps love when I'm charging water. I do that throughout my day every time I drink a glass of water, so I do end up using that a lot. But it's about your confidence, and it's totally the most surprising word you could possibly imagine. So everybody just close your eyes with me for a moment and take a deep breath. And as you take your next deep inhalation, bring inside you the word tall. And with each inhalation, you fill yourself with the word tall and the energy of tall. And with each passing moment and second, you are filled with tall. And you actually feel your body get taller, and you're being lifted up to the heights. And within these heights, you can see a divine vision, and you can walk into any room and be the tallest person there, filled with the height of confidence by just breathing in the word tall. And open your eyes. Wasn't that fun?
Oh, that was great. That was awesome. And I want to bring to everyone's attention that Sharon is using a lot of breathing here, which we have also focused on this year, how important your breath is. You are water. You are over 80% water. So every time you think the word water, think the word love into water or your water, that's filling up you, literally, with the word water. And the breath is so important, guys. That's and the focus. So everything that she's giving you here is a very simple electrical way to charge the work that we have been forging here over the last 2 years. Focus, holding the focus on a word and the charge of it and breathing into it and feeling the vibration of it. She's just really onto something here. And again, it's all about making our work as simple as it can be, making the creation process a conscious way of living so that you don't have to constantly keep bringing yourself back. You are just consistently creating yourself in that state. I want to take a call, Sharon, and see what comes up, because I wanted to ask you about this gift of pronesia. just give me the definition, but then they're telling me to go to this caller first.
Okay, so quickly, pronesia is actually the memory of something in the future. It's not exactly like deja vu, because it's more intuitive than that, but it's the memory of the future, and that's what those two words mean put together in the Greek. At first I thought it was amnesia of your senior prom, which I wish I had, but... But it's not.
Oh, I love that. Memory of the future. Well, and right. So guys, if your mind is dicking around with that, I don't know if that's a power word or not, but if your mind is going to say, what? remember, we live in the past, present, and future. Everything's going on at the same time, in the same moment of now. So I don't know what it has to do with you, Alicia, but we're going to you. So, hi, sweetheart.
Hello. Happy birthday and love, love, love.
Yeah, thank you.
It's interesting as you're talking about it, because in the very beginning I was thinking about I'm afraid of the future, and one trigger that comes up for me is actually a group of words when someone says, I want you to. So there's something around the word want in there, but it feels like there's going to be a negative expectation or a result or a disappointment or something.
Okay, so Sharon, I'm going to ask you to multitask here.
Okay.
Because I've seen you, you know, in person, live and real in person, do your intuitive messages from the other side too. So, can you go back and well, I know you can.
Yes.
Go
no,
back
absolutely.
And forth
no,
between
no, absolutely.
Anything that's coming in for her and
yeah. Absolutely, honey. The first thing I have to tell you is that your word with your want is different when other people say, I want. When other people say, I want, and this is a parental history for you. Spirit is showing me that you have had a lot of lifetimes of service, being in service, where you had to actually fill other people's needs. And I think that there are some elements of that in this life in some of your relationships. Not that you're a servant, but that you are filling other people's needs. So because of this past life history, I have to say that the word should is a very troublesome word for you. Because when other people say, I want you to, that it carries the connotation of should. I should, I must, they want. I need to be in service again. And this lifetime is about your service to yourself. That doesn't mean that you become discompassionate to others, but your self-honoring is one of your mainstays in this experience of your life. And so when someone tells you, I want, first of all, take the should out of that, and then say to yourself, do I want this? I want what they want. If I want what they want, we can co-create this. If I don't want what they want me to do, then I just need to tell them that.
Yeah, and Alicia, they're giving me the word choice. You know? So
yeah.
when somebody says, I want you to, choice is a very, for me anyway, Sharon, a powerful word.
Yeah.
I get to choose. I am the choice. Right.
Right. And just align your wants to other wants. And if there's no alignment there, this is your karmic directive because of all these past lives in service and servitude even, that you align your wants to the wants of others. And if there's a misalignment, then that's a cue to you to say, no, this doesn't work for me.
I get a big yes on this, Alicia. Does this resonate with you?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what's holding me back from going into the future, because we keep saying, I want and focus on what you want, and I can't go into the future if I'm still going to be of service to other people instead of myself.
Okay, that's right. But when do you create the future?
Now, yeah.
Yes. So ultimately, baby, we don't ever in this moment right now go into the future anywhere, because now is now. And if you stay in the now, you are always creating the future in the only moment that you can create it. Right, Sharon?
Exactly. Now is a big word. Actually, it's one of my power words. Now is a big word.
Now is a huge word, because if you can keep yourself right here in this moment, and you know what they're showing me, Sharon, is S. Did you ever do S?
What's that?
Did you ever do EST? EST?
Oh, yes, I did do EST a couple
of
times.
Did you, Alicia?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah. Well, they had a big thing in EST. One of the things is be here now.
Yes.
You know, that was really the first time that principle was taught to me, because I'm from Kansas and we didn't study Buddhism or any of that stuff. We were doing good if we could accept Jewish people back in Kansas. You know, I'm just saying. You know, that's the world I came from. Very different back there now. So Est was really the first time I experienced be here in this moment, and it made so much sense to me as an actor, because I knew as an actor, if I was in that moment, all the emotion came. If I wasn't in the moment and I was trying to get to the moment by looking, oh, well, I've got to cry on this line, which is looking in the future, it never happened. But if I could just be present in the scene, and this acting is just a microcosm of life, you know. So that goes for how we live our lives. The more now, just think if we put the words now, love, action, and freedom together. I mean, you can feel that just when you say the words.
Wow, that's powerful.
Holy hell. Okay, baby. Well, that's your answer, Alicia. And
thank
it's a good
you.
One. Yeah, thank
yeah.
you. Wow, that was woo-hoo, awesome. Okay, let's
that's
go
great.
To Susan. Susan, try and tell us succinctly, darling, what you'd like to know.
What I'd like to know? That's an interesting question.
Well, how about what's your highest power word?
What's my highest power word? Oh, well, of course it's love.
Well, interestingly enough, I get a no on that.
All right. Freedom.
And I get a yes on that. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Sharon, because I think it's freedom within herself. But you take
absolutely.
It. What's coming in?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a personal freedom. It's although, again, because words are so tied to this imprint through history, and indeed our personal histories as well, you have had some past histories and past life histories where that you actually didn't have freedom, and that was personal and very real. Some of them you were in enslaved, but in other of your histories, there were times where, you know, you might have been a woman who was married to a man and you couldn't get divorced, and you were all of the different things that where freedom is wanting in such a terrible way. But and some of your experiences in relationship in this life, you had difficulty finding the freedom to be you as well. Isn't that true?
Oh, definitely, absolutely.
Yeah. See, this personal freedom imprint on you is more an internal one now. It might have been external in past lives, and it might have been situational because of the culture in your marriages in past lives, but now it's an internal one. And now, isn't it funny that in this day and age, the only people who keep us from our freedom and enslave us are ourselves? And so this is your karmic directive in this lifetime, is to find the freedom to express yourself, be you, choose yourself honoring, and not tolerate anything that puts that down in any way.
Yeah, you know what they're giving me too, Sharon, is that in all these past lives that you're picking up, freedom had a negative connotation because it was an impossibility.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I see that. I see that, yes.
It's a positive in this lifetime. And we're actually all being called to do this work together. So put down your dishes or whatever you're doing while you're listening to this show, because we need your help here. On behalf of the collective, to
excuse me, Dee.
Yeah,
I just wanted to add one thing in response to what you're getting right now. I will also want to add that there is a conflict in your internal structure that between freedom and being quote safe. There is a sense of safety in staying in some of these relationships that actually prevent and prohibit your freedom. And it's a miscalculation of safety, certainly. And indeed, And if you read my book, you'll find that safe is actually not a very positive energy word at all. And so, but there are some things you choose to do because there's a sense of safety and less risk than you going out on your own and taking a stand and going out on a limb to be who you are.
And that's to me.
I have certainly felt that myself, too. That it's safer
well,
I
think this is a collective thing, is what they're.
Yeah.
That we're bringing in something here for the collective consciousness.
Yes.
That's true around the word freedom. I mean, if you look just at the black struggle, the African American struggle in our country, freedom meant shootings and hangings and beatings and, you know, slavery. And it's that old thing, guys, of in order to get this, I have to get out of that.
May I bring in something?
Yeah.
This calls to mind something that I read pertaining to the argument towards not believing into God. And the argument was proving that God does not exist, and after they proved that God did not exist, then they discovered that, well, if God does not exist, then who do we have to turn to say that, you know, that who do we look to? Now all of a sudden we have to turn to ourselves, and we don't have anybody else to show us the way, and now we have to take on that responsibility because we, you know, are the ones responsible.
Right.
So all
and that can
our
be,
freedom.
You know, that can be a positive and that can be a negative. So I'm wondering, Sharon, is there a word we can pair with freedom that...
Power.
Powerful
power.
Freedom?
Power, or just power and freedom together.
Power
I loved it
freedom.
When you put now, love, action, and freedom together. You don't have to describe the freedom.
Yeah.
You can just use power and freedom.
Okay.
And everybody, it's important to remember that the word power and potent are the word potent comes from the word power. Stems from its base word. And potential is a derivative of potent. So your potential lies in your potency, in your recognition of your power. So bring power, potent, and freedom together, and you'll meet every potential.
Okay, so we're all going to come together. That was freaking powerful. Sharon, thank you. We're going to all come together here now to claim power, potential, and freedom on behalf of all energy. We're inviting all energy in that wants to participate with us in this claim. On behalf of all energy and the collective consciousness, I am power, potential, and freedom. Ha! I can feel that.
Me too.
So
I
it
get
is
pumps.
Baby cake. Wow. I love that. Thank
yes.
you, Susan. Thank you, darling.
I'll send you a...
Oh, gosh, I cut you off. Sorry. And I want to go to Patty. Because Patty brings in some interesting challenges. Hi, Patty, you're on. How are you, honey?
I'm good. Yeah. Where do I start?
Simply.
Okay. Yeah, something that came up yesterday is I went to my dad's grave, which I've never been to, and there was a lot of grief there and anger towards my stepmother for even being on the tombstone. And I know that there might be grief regarding my mother still, and it's been 15 years.
Can I ask, Patty, which one of these people died of cancer?
My mom.
Okay. She's the one that steps up to me. I had a spirit step into my body, and I felt a cancer going to different places in my body. And boy, is she present for you, because when they step inside me, they're actually saying, I'm present. I'm here, so here, I'm in you, okay? And so it's important to her that you know that whatever happened with your dad and your stepmother, did your dad pass with a heart condition?
Yes.
Yeah, he steps up now and actually brings his apologies. A lot of people need to understand that when we pass into spirit, we have an immediate cognizance of our eternal souls, our eternal spirits. That's why near-death experiences are always so happy, and they never want to come back because I'm in my soul now, you know, go away, don't bother me. But your dad steps up and shows me the heart condition. He points to his chest and says, I want you to know that I'm sorry. But your mom wants you to know that regardless of any activity that they did and all that they made you feel, I'm here with you now. And again, she kind of makes the word now emblazoned before me. And let's bring all of these relationships into the now. And start, do you meditate and talk to your mom and communicate with spirit?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you hear from them as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So stay in the present in your relationship with your mom, because she is with you, like, all the time. And when you communicate to your stepmother and to your dad, then realize that you're not communicating necessarily with the person you're remembering. You're communicating with their eternal spirit, who is a radiant being who now have their priorities straight. And you can work with them on bringing healing to your experience with them by actually communicating with their souls, not just their personalities, not just their memories.
Yeah, we have a kind of a thread or a theme starting here. What they're saying to me, Patty, and it's right in alignment with what Sharon is telling you. You have not been able to, strike the word can't, that's really a disempowering word. You have not been able to communicate with her because you want revenge. And revenge is up for all of us. You know, we've talked a lot about forgiveness, and we'll probably go into this more on Monday's show. Sharon's going to be on Monday's show with me also, right before the webinar on Tuesday. But revenge, I've uncovered some interesting things about myself here about revenge, and I was surprised after all the forgiveness work I've done. But those people who betray and hurt us and rape us energetically in our lives, there's a part of us, well, they're saying the animal part of us, and they're showing me my part on Grimm. The animal part of us that still wants to charge back, that we've controlled that, and we do our forgiveness work, but that imprint of the animal reaction is still there. And that, okay, Sharon, so now they're asking, what would be the most powerful positive word to bring into balance the word revenge? Oh, this is becoming such an interesting show. I'm loving this.
It would be actually a command. You know, you can create affirmations that say, I create forgiveness now, and that type of thing. I forgive my mother.
Yeah, we need something
more
powerful.
But actually, you create a command, and you say it like a command, and you literally pull into yourself the words, forgive now, and you actually bring a strength to that forgiveness that allows it to... You may not be done with all your forgiveness in the moment you say forgive now, but you're actually commanding a forgiving moment. And the more you do that, the more it will resonate as powerful and strong for you. But
yeah.
I will tell you that actions are required as well as words. And when there is a revenge, that effect that you're talking about, like a bull charging, angry at the or a ram or whatever, that is held. That imprint is also held in the body, and there is absolutely nothing better that I found. When you have anger and resentment and want revenge on someone and want to get this out of your system, there's absolutely nothing better than kickboxing. So you can get yourself a kickboxing CD or DVD, whatever, and watch it. And just in your own living room, you know, do some punches. You know, like Louise Hay talks about punching a pillow. That's great. But we actually hold anger much more in the lower chakras, the lower part of the body, the bowels. A lot of people with anger have obstructed bowels, bowel syndrome, that type of thing. And it's a repressed anger. And so when you can punch, you can put the face of whomever you're angry at, and you can punch it out, but you can also do some kicks. And some roundhouse kicks, it actually moves the cellular memory out of your body.
God,
and whenever you start to do that with the people you're angry at, what's going to happen is in a few minutes you're going to want to start to cry. You're going to want to stop boxing and start to cry. And you need to give yourself permission to do that. Sit down and cry, because the other side of the coin of anger is hurt.
Oh, sure.
That wound, being wounded, it causes anger. So the pain on one side, anger on the other side. Give yourself a chance to cry. And then 2 days later, do it again. And then 3 days later, do it again. And I guarantee you, if you do this with every person you're mad at, and then after you're done crying, forgive everybody. Create the command, forgive now. Forgive now. And then whenever they pop in your mind, say, forgive now. And just keep saying that. But if you do this kickboxing process with the people you want revenge, I guarantee you that you're going to come to a point, and probably in a matter of weeks or short months, you're going to come to a point where there's no more energy left in the punch. You don't care anymore. And I promise you that.
Can I bring up something else that I don't know, I'm just prompted to bring it up. Financial thing. Is there any correlation between the two?
Well, of course. Of course there is.
Okay.
Because if you're angry and want revenge and are holding that unforgiveness, then you're stopping the flow of your own energy, Patty. You know that. You know enough about this work to know that.
I know, but it's just amazing to me where this journey goes, and it just goes and goes and goes, and it's, yeah.
It goes into a state of being. Give me a song.
Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah, well, that's your answer. You want more money? Go into A Whole Lot of Love. Staying pissed off at your stepmother who's dead and can't do anything about it.
No. She's not even dead. No. It was I finally just went to my dad's grave, and I just wanted to be with him, and I was mad because her name was on the stone. She's still alive.
Anticipating her death. But you can, even though she's not dead, you can still work with her soul, her spirit, communicate with her spirit to bring healing. You don't actually have to work with her. And one of the other things about the money thing, honey, I have to say, is when you're still angry at somebody, there's a part of you that's still defining yourself through their responses. There's a part of you that's still wishing that their responses would bring you well-being. When you don't care how people feel, you really actually don't care. But when you care how people feel,
they
it's
own
because
your energy.
You want them to respond to you in a loving way and an approving way. So you're still defining yourselves from their lack of approval and their lack of embrace. And that's why we have to get to the point of not caring. Not this definition of self has to be through your power, has to be through your absolute abundant self. And you start creating that definition in a very visceral way. And you will have the abundant wealth you want.
Well, let's bring in the divine love and the claim of that. Those are two powerful words right there, divine love, around everything we've talked about today. And that's who we are. I am divine love. Thank you, Patty. Okay, we're going to have to. Gosh, this flew by.
It did.
Listen, Sharon, quickly, because we've got like 2 minutes here.
Yeah,
tell people where to get the book. Is Power Words, and
right.
Where
and
do they go to get
a,
it?
Okay, we're having a big promotion, as you know, because you've provided one of the free gifts. There's free webinars, free downloads, free meditations, and all you have to do is go to powerwordsbook.com. And this promotion, I think it's the next 24 or 48 hours, so it's powerwordsbook.com. And if you buy the book through those links at Amazon, to Amazon, then you will actually get codes that will give you just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of free gifts from tons of great authors, and it's just very exciting. And I really can't thank you enough, Dee. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, let me tell you, when I meet the real deal, you know, you want to share the real deal with the world, and you're the real deal. I just love you. I love you. You walk
well,
your
right
talk,
back at you.
and your information is beyond accurate, and I want everybody to support her in this, that you're so called to do that. Powerwordsbook.com, or you got a dedicated email from me with the link on it also yesterday. Please join Sharon and I for the webinar next Tuesday the 17th from 7 to 9. I love you all so very, very much. Until we meet again, love yourselves, and love yourselves more, because you know that's what it's all about.
Thanks for joining Dee on Conscious Creation. Visit her website at imdwallace.com for awesome downloads, archived shows, enlightening webinars, and amazing free offerings. And don't forget, you can hear Dee every week on the Al Cole People of Distinction Network, compliments of Live 365 Radio, and on PWR Talk and Women's Radio. Be sure to join us next week for Conscious Creation with Dee Wallace. And remember, loving yourself is the key to creation.